Hey everybody, we are now taking entries for the 5th annual SleeperWire Pro-Am. If you haven't heard of it, it is a large charity league with analysts, podcasters, writers, and pros from around the fantasy industry. The pros this year include Justin Boone, Jake Seeley, Marcus Grant, Pat Fitzmaurice, Ryan McDowell, and more. We're actually keeping the price the same as last year as well. It's $50 to get into a Pro-Am league, $30 for a SleeperWire listener league, or $75 for both. And we are running an early bird special. If you donate $60 by Friday, June 19th, then you'll get into both the Pro-Am and a listener league. So here's how you donate. Go to sleeperwire.com/donate. And then choose the price that you want to donate at. Do you want to donate $30 for a listener league? Do you want $50 for just the Pro-Am? Or do you want $60 to get into both the Pro-Am and the listener league? After that, take a screenshot of the confirmation and send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com. Include your name, email address, and your sleeper username, and we will get you on the list. Of shows that we're going to be putting out over the next few weeks is going to be our mock draft series. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me, I am back together once again. It is the holy trinity of SleeperWire. I got Prophet Hoos and Dirty Jobs Mike on the show. Fellas, what is going on?
What is up, Chris, man? It's back. We're getting closer to the season because all three of us are on the show, and I'm excited because we're mocking, and it's the three of us. And SleeperWire, hey, how's it going, guys? Wow, you beautiful people. You're gorgeous.
Mike, jump in and say hi.
I'm saying hi. I was impassioned by that man's passion because it's good to have him back. Oh, what's happening, gentlemen? It's good to be back. It's good to be together again.
Well, it's been since 2019 that the three of us have done a show together.
I think so, and look at what happened.
The intro gets way messed up.
This is typical fashion.
We start the show 30 minutes late is what happened. Oh, all right, guys. Well, before we get into describing this mock draft series that we're going to be going through, let's go ahead and hit a couple pieces of news because we haven't talked news on the show really for quite a few weeks. So let's go ahead and get into it. First off, Ezekiel Elliott has tested positive for COVID. He was asymptomatic, so didn't know he had it. Said he feels fine. A bunch of Dallas and Houston Texans players also got it, right, Hoos?
13 players. 13 of the Houston Texans players have it. They haven't released any of them like how Dallas, Dallas didn't release theirs. Someone released the information and then Zeke was pretty upset about it on Twitter and whatnot.
I mean, that's a HIPAA. Well, I guess not HIPAA not violation, really. But kind of like a HIPAA violation, you know?
Well, the HIPAA didn't, what was it? The team didn't, what did the team have to do with it? I don't know. It's all really interesting because
someone released private health details and that's bullshit. Right.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I don't feel like that kind of stuff needs to be blasted out there. I mean, this guy still has to go around family members and stuff like that, but I guess I'd be glad to know that I had it if I was carrying it so I wouldn't go around people. So I'd be stoked if I were him, but I totally understand his rage right there.
But if I was a star running back in the NFL, I would not want that broadcast.
No. Although it might be pretty good to, keep linebackers off you and stuff.
That's like the biggest hate right there.
Just start coughing at the line of scrimmage.
Right. Yeah, you think about trying to pick anybody up in a bar or anything like that. They're like, nope, I'll see you in 2 weeks, Zeke.
Yeah. All that's over for him. That's what he's really upset about. It's like the cock block. Like all the chicks that was just in his DM, or he was just in their DMs, now they're just kind of like, sorry, Zeke, I got the news.
That's why he's upset.
Yeah, that's why he was upset.
Let's move on here. We don't really need to spend a lot of time on that. This one's a little bit bigger news for draft season, especially if you are one of those weirdos who have already drafted in redraft leagues. Deebo Samuel suffered a broken foot on Tuesday during just a throwing session with teammates. It's a Jones fracture, which I had to look it up. I had no idea. It's a fracture at the base of the pinky toe bone, like in the foot where that bone starts. He should be able to be on the field early in the season, but that does not mean that he'll be ready week one.
Yeah, notable players that have had it, I believe Julio was one.
He's had every foot injury.
Yeah, he's had it all. You know, it's not something you want to, because it can linger and it can resurface. But he's a young guy. He should be okay. Probably going to get him out of value at drafts now, just because people are going to be dropping off of him a little bit. But obviously, a lot of people are looking at, Kendrick Bourne, and then also the rookie that they drafted as well.
I will say, analysts around the industry aren't really fading him too much. A guy who I really like, he's been on the show a bunch of times, been in the Pro-Am several years now, Pat Fitzmaurice, great dude, tweeted that he's dropping him from wide receiver 27 to wide receiver 34, which isn't a huge drop.
No, it's not. It's just, obviously there's that worry, there's that concern. But the type of player that he is, he's kind of like a gadget guy. I'm a little bit more worried about him just because they want to use him quite a bit. You know, I feel like they're not going to use him as a just typical wide receiver. They want to kind of give him, run plays for him, all these other things. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of faith in him just because, I agree with you, it's not a huge drop. I'd be a little bit more concerned. Just because of the type of injury that it can linger. But, it's really early on in the offseason, so we're obviously we'll pay attention to it.
Josh Gordon is back in the news. He has submitted his letter of application for reinstatement to the league. He's been working out in Seattle. There was reports a few weeks ago that Russell Wilson really wants the Seahawks to get Josh Gordon. This is obviously a developing story. We've been through this with Josh Gordon several times. We'll keep you updated. You guys will hear about this before it's ever on a show.
Yeah, one thing about it is that I can say is that now that he doesn't have to worry about getting suspended because of weed, I think he's probably a pretty safe play. So,
yeah, that's pretty safe, yeah. It's safe to say he's the safe play going forward. And I was saying this earlier in the offseason, if you're doing earlier drafts, definitely draft Josh Gordon because he's someone that people are not paying attention to, and since the NFL has changed their stance on marijuana, it's nothing to worry about there. So go ahead and get him on teams. Obviously, I'm not as high on him as a lot of people have been in the past, but he's like a wide receiver 4 or 5 for you.
Yeah, I mean, you can get him with your last pick.
Right, 100%.
TJ Hockenson is not yet 100% with that ankle injury that was hindering him at the end of the season. It's troubling news. I mean, it's middle of June. It was just an ankle.
See, and here's not where good. You're going to start seeing that COVID effect happening, right? Because you're not able to get out there, get moving on that thing as much as you'd like to or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure he's self-disciplined enough to go out there and do what he needs to try to do. But it just seems like if we were hitting the OTAs right now, I feel like he'd probably be getting that thing in better shape as opposed to the lingering issue. So hopefully he's ready to play because I have this guy high up on my charts this year. I have him having a big season this year.
I am still going back and forth between him and Noah Fant. I got a trade offer that I'm still debating. I have Noah Fant in this particular dynasty league. I was offered TJ Hockenson. I said no. Hoos, what do you think?
It sounds good now, right? but at the same time, I love TJ Hockenson. I think he's also going to be a value. I mean, when we hear news like this, it scares us, because we got dynasty season. Some people are even redrafting this early just because they got the itch. You're going to get him out of value if you're drafting right now, because that's going to drop his value, obviously. But I still like him. I'd still target him. That's going to be a really good offense with Stafford looked amazing last year before the injury. So, yeah, all his weapons, yeah, they're all another year in, and Hockenson another year. I love Hockenson. I'm not scared of him.
I think I take Hockenson over Fant, actually. I just, I really see a decline with Fant. I'm telling you, if you watch Drew Locke in his highlights in Missouri, man, he was thrown to the OK kid, and he was doing good, man. And he's now a Bronco, so maybe this year will be a good year to have Fant, but I don't think it'll last. I don't think that will be consistent.
Let's move on. Alshon Jeffrey has no timetable for a return from injury. Not good for him either, who's injured basically every year. Last piece of news, New York Jets star safety Jamal Adams has informed the team that he wants to be traded. It's not just, negotiations are going poorly. He wants out. He looked good, real good in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he'd look real good in Indy.
On cue. He's put his list out there, but it doesn't matter.
Did you see his list? It's all like playoff Super Bowl contenders.
Obviously. I mean, sure. Who doesn't want to be on that team? We all got wishes, buddy. At the end of the day,
Chiefs, Ravens, Seahawks. These are teams I'd be okay with going to. Like, no shit.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
All right. Well, let's go ahead. That was it for the news. Let's get into what we really want to do. Kick off this new series of mock drafts. So this is a series of shows that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, like I said, where we try out different strategies, such as drafting on the turn. So tips and what can happen when when you're at the end of the first round, beginning of the second, or when you start the draft and then you're at the 2-3 turn. Zero RB, zero wide receiver, taking a quarterback inside the top three rounds, things like that. And today, we're going to do a mock draft with two of us drafting on the turn and one of us trying the zero RB strategy. And this is going to be just a single quarterback, 12-team PPR, one QB, two running back, two wide receiver, a tight end, and a flex with six bench. I don't know if we'll get through the entire draft, but we'll at least get through the starting positions. And what I need to do now is push this on Sleeper. So starting out, before I push it, we already have McNaga in here, who was on last week's mock draft show. He must not turn off notifications in our channel, because he gets in every single one of them, which is amazing.
McNaga. What up?
McNaga, we love you.
Everett here, you push a button yet?
It is no, right? Pushed.
Okay, you should go.
Yeah.
And we're all off.
So for our positions, Mike has the 101. Hoos is at the 108. He's going to be doing the 0 RB draft strategy, which we thought made perfect sense because that's how he drafts anyway. And I've got the 112. So Mike and I are bookending each round here.
Absolutely. I hate the 101, by the way. I'd much rather prefer the 112. How about you?
You know what? I agree. It's nice to have Christian McCaffrey on your team, but I would much rather at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round, have some combination, maybe Devontae Adams and Nick Chubb, rather than Christian McCaffrey and Aaron Jones.
Right.
And I've been kind of liking these middle rounds. I feel like you get the value, just guys that are just falling to you. You don't have to reach. You're taking the guy that either fell or you you might reach a little bit, because the guy's not going to come around. But I'm really loving the middle around these mocks, this 2020 mocks so far.
And it looks like we are full. So before I press the start draft button, I just want to give a shout out to everybody who is in here. Mike at the 101, like I said. Isos, ISOS, at the 102. Brendan Skull, 24, at the 103. McNaga, once again joining us for a mock draft at the 104. Memes in Football at the 105. Everett, 88, the 106. The Dude Abides. Yeah, I like that. The Dude Abides at the 107. Hoos at the 108. Goodrinch, 12. Good to see you back in here at the 109. Dino Mechanic at the 110. That's one of our Sleeper Wire guys, Greg. Chet Jet at the 111, and I am wrapping up the first round with the 112. Let's go ahead and kick it off. I do want to change actually one quick setting here real quick with the draft. We are going to do, make sure it's a 30-second timer, not a 60-second timer.
Great.
And let's go ahead and begin. Mike on the clock. Saquon Barkley, not CMC.
Okay, not CMC. You want to explain yourself there?
No. No, I really just, I have Saquon Barkley finishing better. I do. I really feel like Christian McCaffrey does take a downtick this year. I mean, but what's a downtick for him? But I really feel like Saquon Barkley really explodes this year. I feel like he's got a chip on his shoulder.
And CMC fell to the third pick. Mike, you take Saquon. Isos takes Zeke. Brennan Skull takes Christian McCaffrey at the 103. McNaga takes Alvin Kamara at the 104. Memes in football on the clock now. It's really no surprise that four straight running backs have come off, right?
Not in this particular format. There's no super flex. There's no tight end premium. It's a straight up draft. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to see running backs fly off. And you should probably see maybe, you know, Michael Thomas within these next couple picks, obviously.
Joe Mixon at the 105. That's a little earlier than I've seen him go, but I have no issue with that if you believe in it.
I like that a lot with Burrow. Like, I think he's, I think Mixon's going to light it up this year, too. He really picked it up at the end of the year. Man, look at that. Derrick Henry at the sixth spot. Wow.
Well, yeah.
Do you guys remember last year in training camp, really early offseason, I said, okay, I always hated Derrick Henry, but this year's the year?
Yeah, you did.
I was never a Derrick Henry fan.
Yeah, you were right. And he really took off this year. How do you feel about him this year?
First round is good. I wouldn't take him at the 106.
Okay. So back in?
I would take Dalvin Cook over him, but that's even the only other running back I take.
Kind of info going on?
Nah, Vikings are going to pay him. So Derrick Henry at the 106. Michael Thomas to the Dude Abides at the 107. Hoos, sticking with the zero RB strategy, which is good because that's the whole point of this. Takes Davante Adams. Goodrich 12 takes Dalvin Cook. Dino Mechanic, Greg on the clock now.
Yeah, grabbed Adams here. I love him as a second wide receiver off the board. I was going to take Tariq, but I don't know. I feel like Davante could easily be the wide receiver one this season. They added nothing to that team. Obviously, you're going to see a boost up from Lazard, but I love Davante Adams as a target leader of the whole NFL as well. So I could easily see him being a one-on-one. Love it.
After Goodrich, 12 takes Dalvin Cook. Dino McCann takes Josh Jacobs. Chet Jet at the 111 takes Nick Chubb. And right here at the 112, you know what? I don't think I'm looking at running back at all because I have Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, and Julio all still on the board.
Yeah, it's really nice options to have.
And I don't know who I want out of those three. Do I want a guaranteed 1,400 yards from Julio? Well, time was running out. I took Hopkins and Tyreek.
You basically had the meme of the little girl that said, why don't we have both? And everyone rejoiced.
Another zero RB strategy coming at the tail end, huh?
Yeah. Would you look at that? We don't see that too often, especially from Professor Chris. But with those options, I mean,
see, what
I was really hoping I can get Tariq. But yeah, I think you're going to go wide receiver.
You don't, because I usually love taking a running back in the first two rounds. But it's too good a value. You can get Hopkins and either Hill or Julio at the 12th and 13th overall. I mean, this is a strange draft because you see Dalvin Cook falling into the second round. You see Jacobs and Chubb falling into the early second round as well. You don't really ever see Hopkins and Julio and Tyreek Hill at the second round.
This is true.
And at the 202, it went Miles Sanders, 203, Julio Jones. Goodrich at the 204 takes Kenyon Drake, which is a little bit earlier than or a little bit later than he went in our last mock draft last week, where he was ranked as the fifth overall player, which is way too early. Goodrich 12 in the chat said, asked a question, not scared of the Cook holdouts, Dalvin Cook. I'm not, personally. Vikings are going to pay him. They love him up here in Minnesota, which is where I live. They're not going to not pay one of the top running backs in the league. He's only asking for, what, 11 to 13 million? I say only, but that's not top primo dollar, and he deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, I feel like he probably, maybe, I don't know.
I feel like the he deserves it days are gone. I do. I feel right. like the, I don't feel like we're going to see a whole lot of running backs get paid from this time forward. I mean, if you look at the talent coming up in the next few years, I mean, running backs are, I hate to say it too, are becoming a dime a dozen. I mean, Dalvin Cook is great, but a lot of these guys are just product of great offenses, you know, great offensive lines, great offensive schemes. And you get these guys that are out there that actually are just talking enough to say, well, I can do it without you too. I'm scared about Dalvin Cook this year. I really am.
I think backs just in general, and this is one of the reasons why I've always been their RB, they've always been really volatile. I mean, they take the most damage. They get, you know, they run directly into traffic, you know, and, you know, there's always a camp battle. It's not, you don't see the same thing with a wide receiver. You're not like, hey, Davante Adams, is he going to be the number one wide receiver on his team? Or is Kenyon Drake going to possibly lose the job to Chase Edmonds? Obviously, Kenyon Drake's going to probably keep his job. But what I'm saying is there's a more of a question mark there. You know what I'm saying? Not that right. there's a bad example, but you know what I'm saying? It's like those guys can fight it off.
Well,
you know,
and so really
thing with backs.
The Kenyon Drake is actually, it's not a bad example because Chase Edmonds was good when giving the starting role and Kenyon Drake hadn't ever performed like that.
This is true. I mean, they're both pretty much, to me, I think they're in the same boat, you know, I mean, but
yeah,
Chase Edmonds got hurt and Drake was just there to kind of take off and show that, hey.
And he did.
Yeah, but so did Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds did really great when given the opportunity as well, so.
Well, I want to go ahead and catch up here because we're almost a round behind. Yes. Took Chris Godwin. So in your zero RB strategy, you're starting out with Adams and Godwin. Then the dude abides at the 206, takes Austin Eckler. And then it went Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Travis Kelce, Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, George Kittle, and Mike takes Mike Evans to round out the second round. Kicks off the third round with David Johnson. Then Isos takes Todd Gurley. Brendan Skull, 24, at the 303, takes Kenny Galladay. McNaga, at 304, takes Adam Thielen. And let's, Mike, you and I talk about drafting on the turn here. So a lot of people like it because you get to make picks back-to-back. A lot of people don't like it because you go 22 picks without getting a player. Do you like it or dislike it, if you had to pick one of those?
You know, I dislike it. I'd rather not have to. I mean, I'm pretty stoked about getting Mike Evans as late as I did right there. That if I could do that from the 101 to the 212 every time, I'd be pretty excited about it. But that doesn't typically happen. You know, typically right here, I feel like I'd land on a Leonard Fournette or an Aaron Jones who went a little bit earlier than right there. And so I don't like that second pick, you know, being one of those guys. And that's why I went for David Johnson right here. I actually feel like David Johnson could get out there and light some stuff up. And I feel like getting him at the 3.1 was about right where I want him. He is a gamble, but I do feel like he's a good enough gamble for my RB2 too as well. The one thing I also wanted to point out is Clyde Edwards-Helaire going 2.7 is criminal. I put him at the 1.5. I'd put him right below Kamara in any draft. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's a pretty good value, obviously, in the PPR league. I thought David Johnson was a little high, but when he's actually, what, the 1-2, well, I don't even want to do the counting. He went, he's like the 15th, 16th back off the board, I believe. So it's fair.
Yeah, see, and I mean, like, this guy just, the dude abides just asked why I drafted him right there. And that's why I don't like this 1.1 spot, because it puts you in right. this position. Like, I know that if I don't pick him there, and I actually want to have shares of him on my team this year, I'm not going to get him. You know, he's not going to come back around at the 4.12 or, you know, next week when it finally gets back to me. So that's why I took David Johnson where I did, and that's exactly like you said. He's the 16th running back off the board. Look at all the green up top.
Yeah, it's a lot of green. I probably would have taken maybe Chris Carson, but Chris Carson truther, but I love David Johnson's volume, so I'm not upset with that pick at all.
I feel like we're almost talking David about Johnson, the same guy. Yeah.
You're picking volume. Right, and that's true, too. I think Chris Carson is just he gets more yards for sure, I think, than David Johnson does. David Johnson is more, you're getting him for the catches and the carries, but more of the catches.
For what it's worth, every running back that has gone behind David Johnson so far since you took him, I would take over David Johnson.
You would take over David Johnson.
Yes. Let's catch up here. You'll hear the ones who have been drafted since the 304 at where we had Adam Thielen. At the 305, it went Melvin Gordon, then Juju, then Pat Mahomes. Hoos, you took Cooper Kupp, then Chris Carson, who I wanted. Odell Beckham Jr. at the 310. Jonathan Taylor at the 311, and then on the turn, I took Le'Veon Bell and James Conner. I would take Gurley, Gordon, Carson, Taylor, Bell, and Conner over David Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel like Bell is, David Johnson is the cusp. You know, I have Conner over him, and Carson Taylor, I think, I'm not sure of yet. Kind of scary to me at this point. I want to see these guys.
Ooh, Cam Akers at the 406. That's early.
Yeah, but I feel like he's a guy that, you know, there's no top early there. You're looking at Darrell Henderson, who just kind of got healthy. Malcolm Brown, as much as they love him, they never really given him a shot. You know, Cam Akers should feast. Cam Akers should definitely feast.
Mike, I will say this. If you're at the 301, David Johnson might come back to you at the 412.
I just don't think he would have. I really don't. And like I said, I mean, I can give an argument. Like, I like him so much more than I like Todd Gurley. Chris Carson is just, to me, he's an injury waiting to happen. Jonathan Taylor, I haven't seen much. Le'Veon Bell, well, you guys know how I feel about him. I do, Connor, I'm kind of close on. But that's it for me. I mean, honestly, I'd rather have David Johnson with Deshaun Watson tucking him the ball any day of the week, so. I mean, well, I get it. I understand what you're saying, too. But that's where I'm at with it.
Let's catch up here real quick, and then let's talk about our strategies for the mock draft series. So the fourth round, just kicking off of the 401, James Conner, Amari Cooper, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Lamar Jackson to Hoos, Cam Akers, Allen Robinson, David Montgomery, Robert Woods, A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf. And Mike finishes the fourth round with Cortland Sutton, kicks off the fifth with Terry McLaurin, then DJ Chark and Keenan Allen in the fifth round. So I want to go to Hoos now, your zero RB strategy. Pros and cons of zero RB, because I know you always go zero RB. You think there's no cons, but pros and cons of that particular strategy. Why do you choose that strategy?
In the past, it's the strongest strategy for me because I'm targeting targets, right? I'm targeting what I know is going to be short for the most part, right? There's Devontae Adams is going to lead the team in targets. Chris Godwin is going to lead the team in targets. Should Chris, Cooper Kupp may not lead the team in targets. Robert Woods will. But at that point, I'm looking at touchdowns and he should be one of the touchdown leaders. Lamar Jackson, floor, obviously, rushing, all of these things. We talked about running backs earlier, how volatile they are. Obviously, you want to get a running back that's good, but we just don't know. Chris Carson could get injured. David Johnson could get injured. These are all guys. James Conner could lose his job.
These are all guys.
These are all guys. These are all guys that are question marks.
Hard-hitting fantasy analysis.
these are all dudes, guys, man.
None of these players are women. These are all guys.
These are all guys that have question marks. You know, I mean, I feel like once you get past, I don't even know, what, Derrick Henry? You can start, you know, picking apart these guys. Josh Jacobs, you can start saying Bowden Jr., Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. You can start Leonard Fournette if he gets traded. Aaron Jones, they just drafted a guy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You can say, you know, there's so many guys. Austin Eckler is the only guy I feel good about, other than maybe Kenyon Drake. The rest of these guys, they could lose their job. They could get injured. Give me a wide receiver that I know is going to get the targets. And give me a guy like who's going to possibly get, you know, workload right away, like Mark Ingram, year one. You know, I know we all love J.K. Dobbins, but I'd say, hey, give me Mark Ingram. You know, like in this format, if he's my first running back off the board, I love it. You know, I don't mind it at all. And then after this, you just start stacking up on running backs.
So catching up here in the fifth round at the 504 went Stephon Diggs, AJ Green, Kareem Hunt, Brandon Cooks. Hoos, you took the running back I was hoping would fall to me. And this is a point where you want to start taking your running back in zero RB. It doesn't mean you don't draft a running back. that's not what it means. It means you wait on one until about the fifth or sixth round, and you got Mark Ingram, who should be great, at least to start the season. He was last year. Then Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, T.Y. Hilton, and then on the turn, I took Tyler Lockett at the 512, and then Kyler Murray at the 601. It's a little earlier than I like to draft quarterbacks, but I do have DeAndre Hopkins. And since I have DeAndre Hopkins getting that stack with Kyler, who also gets the rushing yards, I'm good with that. Now, I want to talk about my strategy when it comes to the turn. So obviously, I took the 112. I like the 112 much more than the 101. Being able to pick back-to-back is awesome. But personally, I would much rather be in the middle. When I draft on either at the 101 or the 112, I find I don't like my teams as much as I do in the middle. And the main reason is that if you want a player, you have to reach for him.
100%. Yeah.
You have to reach. Like, so in, you know, I took Tyler Lockett and then Kyler Murray. But say I wanted, Kyler Murray, but I went with Devontae Parker instead. There's no way Kyler was getting back to me.
Right.
Not a chance. So, and that's the thing. You have to reach for a player that you want, and you don't really have a choice because there's going to be 22 other players off the board before it ever gets back to you. That's right. Both a blessing and a curse. I view it as more of a curse. I would rather be in the middle where there's, you know, 10 to 12 picks in between. Where
more
I don't
blessings
have to
are falling. More blessings are falling.
More blessings are falling in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so that's why
a lot of people like the back to back.
Yeah.
What's that, Mike?
I said, well, that's why I draft the way I draft too. You know, it's like,
right. You got to take your guy.
I go off my list, and that's all I do. You know, like right here, I like this guy a lot this year. I think he's going to actually be pretty productive in Keyshawn Vaughn. You know, like things like that. And I mean, I know I could have probably waited on him a little bit. There too. This is Boyd.
Can we talk about how I have Hopkins, Hill, and Lockett as my wide receivers?
Well, yeah, shoot, I'm over here with Cortland Sutton, Terry McLaurin, Tyler Boyd, and freaking Mike Evans.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful year to wait on a wide receiver if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, I get the whole, you know, zero wide receiver. You see a lot of that. And it works too. I mean, look, you should never go into any particular draft saying, this is what I'm going to do.
And that's why we're doing this series.
Right. But you're going to see different outcomes, obviously, at all different times.
Yep. And we're going to do, you know, a series where, you know, maybe a quarterback wasn't, most people would say was not the best choice. But we're going to look at what happens if you draft a quarterback in the second round. We're going to stick to a strategy and see what happens when you stick to the strategy. Let's catch up here, though. Sixth round, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Devin Singletary, Jarvis Landry, Zach Ertz, Devontae Parker, Russell Wilson, Michael Gallup, DeAndre Swift, Raheem Mostert, Deontay Johnson, and then Mike wrapping up with Keyshawn Vaughn, and then kicking off the seventh with Tyler Boyd, then Damian Williams, Deshaun Watson in the seventh, which could be good value. No Hopkins, but could be. Darius Geis, Marvin Jones, Darren Waller, J.K. Dobbins, Alexander Mattison. Excuse me. Oh, beer burps.
Yeah.
And now Goodrich 12 on the clock. That one caught me by surprise. You ever get one of those burps where you're just like, oh, well, what the hell? And you just try to talk through it, but like it's so obvious that you just burped.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time. I like carbonated beverages myself, as in
beer. Hayden Hurst at the 709, which I never thought I would say. If you had to pick a tight end in Atlanta, would you say Hayden Hurst or Jaden Graham?
I love Jaden Graham, but they did trade for him, but I believe Matt Ryan likes Jaden Graham. So I want to see it. I want to see it. But obviously, you're throwing, you're dart throwing at Jaden Graham. Like, get him on your team. Now the worst thing you're going to do is just drop him.
At the 7-12 here, we'll catch up in a second. The 7-12, I've got two running backs. I think Marlon Mack in the 7th round, he's at least going to start the season as the starter. But here is when, you know, the zero RB strategy can come into play because you're still getting running backs who are going to get work. Because sure. Here in the 8th round, yeah, I know that the Dolphins may have Matt Breda, but I don't think he's the starter. I think Jordan Howard is the starter.
Agreed.
And I just took Jordan Howard in the 8th round. I took a starting running back in the 8th round.
Yeah.
And that's one of the arguments for zero RB is because this can happen.
Right.
So, like, Hoos, for example, on your team, you could have taken, so instead of Mark Ingram, you could have taken T.Y. Hilton or Tyler Lockett and then grabbed DeAndre Swift and Raheem Mostert, or DeAndre Swift and Marlon Mack, or Jordan Howard, or J.K. Dobbins. Could have been great. Or would have been great either way.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways you can draft. I don't really think you can go out there, and we see this a lot on Twitter, like a lot of guys saying, this strategy is dumb, that strategy is dumb. There's no strategy that's really dumb unless you're going in the whole time, like kind of how I am right now, which we're doing just kind of for giggles, is like sticking to something the whole time. So like, you know, and at PPR, I just grabbed Matt Breda in the zero RB strategy because I look at him, he could be a nice PPR back. Alexander Mattison, the round before, that was obviously Dalvin Cook. So it could be a wasteful round in round seven.
So before I took Marlon Mack and Jordan Howard, let's just wrap up the 7th round real quick. Greg at the 7-10 takes Sony Michel. Chet Jett takes Jerry Jeudy. And then on the turn, like I just said, I took Mack and Howard. Then with 802, it went Ronald Jones. Then Debo Samuel. Goodrich takes Aaron Rodgers in the 8th round. What did you ever think would happen first? Hayden Hurst in the 7th or Aaron Rodgers in the 8th?
That's tough. Seeing OBJ go to the 3rd round, too. That's crazy as well.
Not as crazy as these two things, though.
Yeah, no, that's things that I'm like, wow, I did not see that coming. Yep.
Then it went Matt Breda, Tyler Higbee, Julian Edelman in the 8th round. No Brady. Matt Ryan, Evan Engram, Hunter Henry, and now Isos takes Will Fuller. And Mike, you're on the turn here. Let's talk about Tyler Higbee. Is the 8th round too early for Tyler Higbee? Because a lot of people are writing that absolute fire that he was on at the end of last season, but that was also after Gerald Everett got hurt, and Everett had been really good.
Yeah, I mean, they were using Everett a little bit more. He was out snapping them or targeting him, but I think that Higbee, that was Graham Barfield. He had put that out that Gerald Everett was out targeting him, and I mentioned, I was like, yeah, Tyler Higbee, they realize Tyler Higbee's better. and he's kind of like, no, Tyler Higbee, you know, Everett got injured, which is true. But I do believe that by eyesight, Tyler Higbee is better. And I think a lot of people are over drafting him. I do agree. I think that he's not going to produce what a lot of people are thinking he gave you at the end of last season. But I still think that he's a wide receiver, a tight end 12 for you. I think he's top 12.
The tight end version of Damian Williams.
Pretty much.
People are riding the end of the season. That's what they remember.
Yep.
They don't remember Everett being hurt. Anyways, Mike takes Rob Gronkowski to end the 8th round, then Josh Allen to kick off the 9th. You really don't see Josh Allen falling this far.
Ever, and I love it, man. I think that's awesome. That's your poor man's Lamar Jackson right there, buddy.
Well, yeah, we all know that the Wyoming boy loves the Wyoming player. Then, Mecole Hardman, Darius Slayton, Tom Brady, Henry Ruggs III, Philip Lindsay, C.D. Lamb, not C.C. Lamb. Hoos at the 9:08 on the clock now.
And I think here I'm going to continue to deploy my zero RB strategy and collect zero RBs at this point.
Yep.
So Tariq Cohen.
Zach Ertz in the 6th is great value, too.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I had to take him there. I was actually going to take a running back there. But then I said, man, Ertz is right there. This is kind of how I would draft. And as their RB as well, I want to lock down all the top skill positions other than RB. And then since I feel like it's so volatile, just obviously just fill it up with guys that could get me through the season. And waivers are great, obviously.
Hey, guys, we're going to post a screenshot of, I think, the first 10 rounds is what we'll be able to get in the picture. And you'll see what Hoos likes to do. He usually goes zero RB, but then there's a point in the draft where, like, five straight rounds he takes a running back.
This is true.
So Hoos takes Tariq Cohen. Then it went Drew Brees and Jamison Crowder. Chet Jett on the clock at the 9-11 here. 15 seconds left. And now I'm on the clock, and the guy I hoped would get back to me in the ninth round did, Emmanuel Sanders.
Nice.
Love it.
Yeah,
and I think I want to, you know what, there's still a couple tight ends who I like going later, so I think I'm going to skip tight end for right now. Maybe go back to wide receiver, and time to take a flyer on someone who, not really a flyer, because he played really well last season, John Brown.
Nice.
Love it.
I think Stephon Diggs being there helps.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just on. John Brown was so good last year.
For like the first seven weeks.
So good. God, he was so good last year.
Let me look at his player card. Let's see, in 2019, when it came to PPR, let's see, 25.3, 14.2, 9.5, 11.9, 12.5, 19.3. 10.4, 11.6, 12.7, 34.7, 11.9, 10.72, 5, 16, 12. Yeah, he was a little up and down, but for the most part, he was just a very, very solid player. He's been thought of as this boom or bust player, but last year, not a whole lot of bust. It was just boom or not disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good, and I think a lot of people are forgetting him because it's dynasty season, obviously. But it's nice to see him, you know, it's not early, but round 10, that's, you know, I think I love that turn for you. Emmanuel Sanders and John Brown, I think those are two guys that's going to boom this season. Yeah, they're really going to flourish in this season. I believe. Love those picks.
And I think we're going to make the 11th round the last round here. So we're already through the 10th. So I kicked it off with John Brown. Then it went Christian Kirk, Matthew Stafford, Justin Jefferson, Tevin Coleman to Hoos, Daryl Henderson, Jalen Reagor, Anthony Miller, Preston Williams, Michael Pittman, who I almost took over John Brown, Tony Pollard, and Zach Moss to Mike to end the 10th round. Takes Breshad Perriman to kick off the 11th. Carson Wentz, Kerryon Johnson, Golden Tate, and Mike Gesicki. And now Everett 88 is on the clock with the 11:06.
I like that Gesicki pick at 11.5. I feel like that's going to be a really good, solid draft position for him. I feel like he's a guy that can actually finish top five. I mean, which isn't that spectacular in the tight end scape. You're not finishing top three. You're not really finishing that big. But I think right. I think he can get top five. Grabbing Zach Moss at the 10.12, too. I feel like he's going to be the starting running back for the most part in Buffalo. I feel like Singletary's going to come in and maybe spell him more than the opposite. So getting in with the 10-1-2, I think, is going to be a good stab in the dark as well.
Everett 88 takes Jonnu Smith, which could be great value in the 11th. The dude abides takes Antonio Gibson. Hoos takes Sterling Shepard. Goodrich 12 on the clock at the 11:09. And since this is going to be our last round, I do need to take my tight end here. And honestly, there's still two guys who are in here in the 11th round who I would be happy to have on my team. TJ Hockenson is not one of them.
Noah Fant, Austin Hooper.
Jared Cook.
It is not Noah Fant or Austin. Well, Noah Fant was one of them. That's not who I'm going to take, though.
Jared Cook.
Not Hooper or Cook.
Got it.
Goodrich takes DeSean Jackson. Dino Mechanic on
the
clock.
I know who you want.
Yep.
Yeah.
Initials are BJ.
Great pick.
I knew it was going to be Jarwin.
What's that?
I said I knew it was going to be Jarwin. That's who I was going to guess.
That is what it's going to be. I firmly believe in the third-year breakout for Blake Jarwin.
Yep, I agree. I like Blake Jarwin,
I don't care
too.
About all the other weapons. I think that helps Dak, but does not hurt Jarwin. And you know what?
Screw it.
I'm going to take Hockenson to start the 12th, too.
I actually thought you were going to take your boy Doyle.
Nah, I'm not a fan. Not feeling Doyle.
No, with Rivers. I mean, loves.
I don't know. Like, I love Jack Doyle, but for fantasy, I don't know if I'm feeling it.
I feel like Rivers made a career off of tight ends. You know,
he hasn't done that for like 5 years.
What do you mean, Hunter Henry? Before that, Antonio Gates. I mean,
well, yeah, Antonio Gates hasn't been in the league for 5 years.
Hunter Henry.
Yeah, you get one game of Hunter Henry a season. And then when Henry's out, you got Virgil Green, who doesn't do a damn thing.
Well, I mean, Jack Doyle is not Hunter Henry, but I don't know. I like him.
Yeah, he's better.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's go ahead and take a look at this draft board here and sort of break down what we were doing. Once again, Mike, you were at the 101. I was at the 112. We took the turns. Hoos, you took the zero RB strategy drafting at the 108. How do you feel about your strategy looking at your team after all is said and done?
Well, it's pretty typical for me, so obviously I love it. I mean, I'm not doing anything I normally do not do. These drafts that I'm doing, zero RB, it usually, you know, as you were alluding to earlier, I'm taking my 3-4 wide receivers, my strong tight end, and then a slew of green, if you're looking at sleeper, right? Like a whole block of green. So I started out with Davante Adams, who I feel like is going to be a target hog. Chris Godwin, I believe so as well. Cooper Kupp, another guy that I just feel like maybe he's not going to lead his team in targets, but with no Cooks there, I know they drafted a rookie, but I just see the Cooper Kupp seeing even more targets. Woods may lead. Then I got Lamar Jackson on my team. Mark Ingram. When are we going to stop disrespecting Mark Ingram? I mean, this guy just does nothing but finish top 15 every year. And I love J.K. Dobbins, but I do think that you could still draft Mark Ingram and feel pretty good about it. So I love that. Zach Ertz, obviously. Love that. Alexander Mattison, if he's... if this guy Dalvin Cook doesn't report, that's absolute steal. I mean, he should be going in the second round if we get to the point later on in the year. And obviously, then Matt Breda, Cohen, it's beautiful. To me, this is perfect in the PPR league. You cannot do zero RB, I will say, in a standard league. Do not even try to do it. It's way too hard. You're going to need way more running backs. It only works in a PPR league because you have pass-catching backs. Tariq Cohen's going to catch at least probably 50, 60 balls. That's a point, you know, every time he catches the ball. I mean, Matt Breda, same way, you know. I mean, I'm going to Booger McFarlane it a little bit here, you know. Tevin Coleman, same thing. You know, these guys are catching passes. And then Justin Jackson with my last pick, complete dart throw. But if he can split work with Austin Eckler, I mean, look what Melvin Gordon did. Obviously, he's no Melvin Gordon. But if he can split work, obviously that's what we want. We want targets. We want carries. Strength in numbers. I love my team.
Mike, at the 101, you started off with Saquon Barkley. And then when it came around, you grabbed Mike Evans and David Johnson, Cortland Sutton, Terry McLaurin, and then Keyshawn Vaughn as your first six picks. Did you like drafting at the 101? Do you like being on that turn at the very beginning of the draft?
You know, I really typically don't, but this draft, the way it fell to me, I actually did kind of like it. I do like this team quite a bit. I also got Moss a little bit later as well. And so, I mean, when you add him with the depth, and I mean, where I think he's going to probably be the guy who takes over the Buffalo backfield, you know, later on in the year and things like that. And so if David Johnson doesn't pan out for me, I do have Keyshawn Vaughn and him to kind of back up that clout. And then with those three receivers right there just out the gate, dang, you know, like I'm pretty happy with that. Those guys are the wide receiver ones for their respective teams. So I feel like that was a really good draft. I don't typically get this good on the 101, though.
I will say I do like what you just said about Zach Moss. I think he's going to come in and he's going to fill that Frank Gore role nicely. And I think Devin Singletary truthers are going to be kind of bummed.
Right. Yeah, see, I feel Devin Singletary is going to get the workload at the beginning, but I feel like he's going to get overtaken relatively, you know, about week 8, week 9. And like I said, it's not like I feel like David Johnson's going to be a guy that lasts me the whole season. So being able to sub one of those guys in as the running back two on this team with Saquon Barkley leading the charge, I love it.
Anything you wish you had done differently?
You know, honestly, Tyler Boyd was a little bit – I think premature.
Yeah, it's a little early.
But other than that, I feel like I did okay. I mean, if you look at who went after him, you know, I feel like I'd still like Tyler Boyd after all the way up to Darius Slayton. I do like Slayton a lot, but man, he was like 20 picks later, so.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine. I drafted the 112, so I had the first and second round turn, third and fourth round turn, and so on. I started off with DeAndre Hopkins and Tyreek Hill, which, I mean, like, that's great. But then my running backs, I've got Le'Veon Bell and James Conner, which, I mean, Bell's going to get the work. Hopefully, I don't know if Conner can stay healthy. I'm not a huge fan of that Conner pick. I don't really like how my team turned out when it comes to the running backs. I kind of wish I had maybe taken Leonard Fournette in the second round.
It that would have been feels a big improvement, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like your backs. I think they're guys that should get workload. I mean, unless obviously the guys that they bring in, I mean, James Conner, they brought in a rookie. Le'Veon Bell, they brought in a rookie. Marlon Mack, they brought in a rookie. Jordan Howard, they bring in a rookie. But they got Matt Breida, and they still have Patrick Laird, obviously, who I had to bring up because he's Patrick Blair, and I love Patrick Blair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your backs, actually. I like your backs more than mine, and you kind of went zero RB as well, sort of. I mean, not really.
Because I took two. It was Hopkins and Tyreek. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that combo. And you know what's funny is I feel like Jordan Howard's going to be your running back one on this team.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, look what he did last year. No one wanted to start him, but when you didn't start him, he was doing well for you. And when you did start him, you're just like, man, Jordan Howard.
Well, and I'm just looking at the picks that went right after me in the fourth round. And this is the problem that you get when you're on the turn is that you have to reach. You can't play the, oh, well, I think this guy will fall back to me. You know, like you can think that when you're going to pick again in 10 to 12 picks. But when it's going to be nearly two full rounds, you can't think that way at all. Like, if you think a guy's going to come back to you, he won't, you know?
Right.
Like, so after guys who went after James Conner, I probably would have, I think I would prefer to have both Amari Cooper and DJ Moore instead of James Conner. Just in a vacuum, you know?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, but if James Conner still gets, if you look back at his game log, when he was healthy. Yeah, I mean, this is the game of running backs. This is why I draft zero RB. These guys don't stay healthy, and then they could have a coach that's upset with them and say, no, I'm benching you. So I don't really like to invest in the backs because of that. But if you look at his game log, he was a stud. I mean, I know a lot of people just recency bias. They drafted a rookie. I don't mind James Conner at all. I know it probably feels early. You're not seeing too many people draft him. But in a redraft league, I love the pick.
Yeah, I just wish he'd done that last year when everybody was taking him at the 105. including me.
Yeah. I had a lot of them until he burned me.
Yeah, I mean, drafting on the turn can work out in your favor, but it's a completely different ballgame. You know, it can't be, oh, this guy might fall back to me. He won't. You have to reach. Let's go ahead and look through the teams here, the 12 teams in this single quarterback PPR league, and just each one of us pick a team that we think is the best roster. We can't pick our own team. So okay. We got Isos, Brennan Skull, McNaga, Memes and Football, Ever88, The Dude Abides, Goodrich 12, and Chet Jet. I'm not going to include Dyna Mechanic because he's one of us anyway.
There's some good teams here.
Trash on his running back two is Devin Singletary.
Yep, and his running back three is Sonny Michel.
Right, like,
he does not have my favorite team.
I will not be talking about him, but not because he's a sleepwire guy.
I'm gonna say.
I hope you know I love him.
I'm gonna say Brendan Skull 24, my favorite team. Drafted at the 103, he's got McCaffrey and Fournette, and then his wide receivers, Galladay, A.J. Brown, and Keenan Allen. Deshaun Watson at quarterback. Hunter Henry, I know we just had that discussion about Hunter Henry at the end of the show. but if Hunter Henry can stay healthy, he's got Hunter Henry. I think he's got the best starting roster.
I think I almost agree with that. I also really like the Dude Abides. Anybody who has Michael Thomas, Austin Eckler, Cam Akers. Yep. I mean, Devontae Parker. He's just got a lot of my favorites on that team. J.K. Dobbins. Like, that's a great team to me. CeeDee Lamb, I don't know how I feel about him this year, but getting him at the 9.7, perfect.
See, the issue I have with the dude abides roster is, yeah, starting off Michael Thomas is awesome, but his running backs, three of them are rookies. One of them is Daryl Henderson, and the other one is Austin Eckler, who thrived with Phillip Rivers at quarterback, who is not there anymore. Eckler's not going to finish top five again. So I think this might be a little, second round's a little too rich for me. I had a post on Twitter that I think he's going to be closer to 20 than closer to top five.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a hot take.
Is it, though? With a rookie or Tyrod Taylor?
I mean, you're looking at the same offense, though.
No, you're not.
Well, you're not looking at the same quarterback. It's the same. Isn't it the same? Do they have a new offensive coach?
The quarterback makes a huge difference.
I don't know. I think that the offensive coach comes up with his schemes, and obviously you tailor around it. But, I mean, if we look at Justin Herbert, I mean, I know he has a gun on him, but he's going to be touching down to a security blanket of Austin Eckler. Obviously, he has
– maybe.
You know, I mean, yeah, it's maybe. It's very early, but I thought top 20, I don't know. I think it's a hot take.
All right.
I do like Dudes Divide's team, but my favorite is this dude named Prophet Hoos. I mean, I don't know what this guy was doing. He attacked his drivers. No, I mean, Everett 88, I like the Derrick Henry pick, even though it feels early. I think he's still going to beast out Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he's going to get over 100 targets. Juju Smith's back. Allen Robinson, stud. Kareem Hunt is he should go higher. I don't know why he's going so late in these drafts. Fifth round, I think, is a steal for him. Russell Wilson, amazing. Waller, obviously. And Julian Edelman should still be the number one on this team. In that short area with the new quarterback, Phillip Lindsay. I still like the Phillip Lindsay there. It's his team. I know we loved Melvin Gordon, especially you, Chris.
False. We are not. It is not Phillip Lindsay's team.
I believe.
No
it's his team.
Way. No I way. Mike, you're the Broncos fan. What do you think?
I think we'll see a showcase of Melvin Gordon. Yes. I do believe. I think he'll be the main guy.
100%. 100%.
I think they hired him for a reason. I think they'll spell him in with I feel like them grabbing him said everything I needed to hear about how the Broncos feel about their backfield.
Yep.
Well, I think it said everything they've about Booker. I mean, Devonta Booker has done nothing. They wanted him to do something. You had a lot of guys hyping him up last offseason, and people were, you know, talking crap about Phillip Lindsay. What did Phillip Lindsay do when given the touches? He did very well when given the touches. So, I mean, I just think he's going to be – even if he is that change of pace back – I mean, a back behind Melvin Gordon, I think he's going to start, and Melvin Gordon will spell him. But even if to get Phillip Lindsay that late in the draft, like, I like it. And then, obviously, Jalen Reagor, if no Alshon, doesn't even have a timetable, he should feast. He should feast. Loved the new pick. So he's got two tight ends I really love. Denzel Mims, he's my tight end. He's my wide receiver, too, in Dynasty. And then Joe Burrow I really love Everett's 88 team. I think he killed it top to bottom.
All right, guys. I think that is going to be it for this mock draft show. Any other notes you guys want to make about this mock?
No, thanks for everybody joining us, man. That's always great to see some of the old names coming back. It's definitely a sign that football's around the corner.
For sure. And those of you who are listening to the show in Sleeper, hit us up with a message in the Sleeper channel. Post in there, what strategy do you want to see in the next mock draft show? And that is going to be it for the show. Please, everybody, go check out the details for the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am 5, the fifth annual Pro-Am. You heard the promo for it at the beginning of the show. Go to sleeperwire.com/donate, and you can get into this awesome league. Real quick, I also want to ask, did you guys get in the Scott Fish Bowl? You did, right? Speaking of charity leagues.
I think we all did we not all get in?
Mike, you got in, right?
I did.
We did. My first one. Yeah. Do you know what division you're in? I'm in the Tinker Toys League.
I tried to get in the infamous Lego League, which I guess was a very popular one.
I'm sure it was. I didn't even try.
I have never been a popularity contest winner. This was no different. And so I joined the Box League because I felt like that was pretty dirty.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. I didn't see that. That sounds like
cardboard box league, dirty jobs. Come on.
Look, yeah.
When I win the championship this year, like how cool is that gonna be? Like, yep.
Dirty jobs won the cardboard box league. Of course he did. I'm in the Thundercats League, and as soon as I saw, I mean, probably same thing when you saw cardboard box, you're like, yeah, that's where I'm at. Same thing with Thundercats. Oh my God, Thundercats is here. I didn't even have a ton of Thundercat toys. I did not, but I just remember the cartoon. I loved it. So I immediately clicked it. Got my guy Justin Boone in there with us. So was happy to see him in the league with us. It's a fun group of guys. Shane's the Worst is in there, I believe. Dynasty Dad, a lot of Dynasty guys are in this Thundercats league. Smart guys, you know, best toys, best show.
Do you guys remember going to like Blockbuster and renting a Thundercats VHS tape?
Oh yeah, that's just going to Blockbuster. Period. Just going to Blockbuster was awesome. Just walking down the lanes, taking forever.
You used to be able to rent video games.
Oh man, that was amazing. It was so fun. Just the joy of going through Blockbuster. You didn't even have to take home any sometimes.
They built a Blockbuster not right before I moved, but like a few years before I moved. I'm like, really? You guys are building a Blockbuster? Like, they're tearing them down all over the country, right? And they're building them, right? And I'm like, you guys are dumb, and it was gone within a year.
The 1980s just hit Wyoming, though.
Right, exactly. Like, hey, guys, you can create videos. It's like, we have the internet. Like, it's very popular. It might be slow internet, but it's better than Blockbuster.
Well, we certainly look forward to everybody being in the Pro-Am this year. Once again, the details are $50 to be in the Pro-Am, $30 to be in a listener league, or $75 if you want to be in both. So instead of, you know, paying $50 and then $30, donate one time $75 to sleepwire.com/donate, and we'll get you in both of them. Mike, Hoos, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This was awesome. It was so great to be back with you guys. This was a blast.
Oh, love you. Love you guys. It's so great. The season's here. Yes. We're on podcasts.
Hashtag bromance.
Yes.
Romance hip.
Follow us on Twitter at SleeperWire Show. You can follow Mike at DirtyJobs21. Hoos is at SleeperWireHoos, and I am Prof_ChrisSW. And then find us on the Sleeper app as well at DirtyJobs, ProfitHoos, and Professor Chris. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll catch you next time.